Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you this evening, and I certainly hope and trust that you have set aside some time that you really want to listen to tonight's broadcast. This is a good one. This comes from one of our subscribers, and they have asked us to do this particular topic. So I've decided to go ahead and oblige them, and here we are. Also, we're going to be doing a little bit more to send out some blogs. You have been asking for that. So we're going to do that. We're going to start sending out some blogs to keep people up to date on the things that we're doing with notifications and different things. So you want to stay tuned for things like that. We will probably get around to several different things, venues of where we're bringing people in. And of course, if you do have a topic, we want to, by all means, know what your topic is that you would like us to air over the radio. We did get this one, and we're going to be doing this one tonight. And I'll just give you a quick thought on what it is. Is your sidekick winning over your significant other? That's what tonight's topic is. But before we get into a particular topic, I do want to just review some of my past topics. I want to review some of the past topics that we've had, what we've talked about on the shows. Topics like, should marriage come with an expiration date? Should dating even also come with an expiration date? We've had people that send in their comments, is marriage overrated? You know, there are people, you'd be surprised the number of things that people are giving their views on now and asking these various questions about relationships. And that's what this topic, that's what tonight's broadcast will always be about. It will always be about relationships, whether we're talking about marriage, we're talking about dating, we're talking about siblings, children, relatives, parents, co-workers, bosses, employees. We're always going to be talking about relationship issues. You know, even when it comes to customer service, going to the store to make purchases. So this show is always about relationships. We don't get into politics. This particular show does not get into religion or spirituality of things. This show basically deals with things on the lines of relationships. And again, if you have a topic, go to online at drjessewalker.com and send us a comment, or you can go to info@drjessewalker.com. Any of those will certainly do. And we want to hear from you and let us know what you thought, your thoughts are. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. If you want to call in or have your friends call in, the number is 347-857-1769. Once again, if you want to call in and you want to speak to the host, my co-host, or want to speak to the issue of tonight's topic, you can certainly call 347-857-1769. You can also send us a comment at drjessewalker.com or online at drjessewalker.com, and that will be able to come in as well. you know, when it, I want to go back just for a moment and speak to whether dating should come with an expiration date. And I say yes. I actually say yes, dating should come with an expiration date. And the reason why I say that, and of course, if, let's say you got Jack and Jill, and Jack wants to get married, but Jill doesn't want to get married, and Jack is looking to get married, and he's spending his time, and he's been with Jill for 2 or 3 years, and he wants to get married to her. And Jill is saying, you know, that's not what I want. With all due respect to Jill, because it's her choice, I would also say, you know what? If Jack needs to be real to himself by saying, you know, she's not ready to get married, and he needs to respect that, and then he probably needs to move on and find someone who's at that level where he is that wants to get married. And I think that that's the mistake that some people make. They stay in those dating relationships so long, and they have other ideas for the relationship. They want to maybe take it to the next level, even being engaged, and the person that you're with is not thinking along those lines. Well, in my opinion here, you could be wasting your time. You could be wasting your time with that person. Now, next question is, should marriage come? All right, this one here, I know I can run into a lot of flack, you know, for my thinking on this, but nevertheless, I might say it anyway. Should marriage come with an expiration date? Should marriage come with an expiration date? Well, you know what? I'm going to put it like this. You know, a lot of times people bring their religiosity, you know, to this show, even though that's not what we're looking for. A lot of times people will bring, they'll bring the God factor in, and that's okay. That's okay. And I often say that, you know what? The institution of marriage is of God. The institution of marriage, I believe, is of God. But not every marriage is ordained by God. The institution of marriage is. So what I mean by that is, some people are in these relationships, in these marriages, and my gosh, it's like they just don't get along. They haven't been getting along for 12 years. Well, what makes you think, and I know they say, well, prayer changes things, and I believe in that too. But I don't believe that, you know, and I want to bring this in. I don't believe God goes against anybody's free will. So let's go back to Jack and Jill, for example. Jill could be praying that Jack changes, has a change of heart, that, you know, that God please change him. But if that's Jack's free will, I don't think God's going to interfere with that. And that's what people seemingly don't understand, that he gives you free will. That's a very powerful thing. That means, you know what, it's your choice, whatever you want to do. So while Jill may be praying, her best prayer is, God, help me to change me for whatever I need to change to be a better person for you, you know, or if I'm falling short in my marriage to Jack, help me to, or vice versa. If Jack is fall, if he's a person, help me to change me in under these circumstances, in this situation. And therefore, and we're going to go to the phone lines in a moment, and therefore, it's not like you're asking God to change somebody else, because I don't see God infringing on people's free will. That's their free will. And so that's why a lot of people are so disappointed. They lose faith and everything else because they're like, well, God didn't change my husband. God didn't change my wife. Why would he, when he says, you know, you got free will, you have free will. Nobody can take that from you unless you give them permission to do so. And then why are you trying to change anybody anyway? Marry the right person. So the short answer to my question, should marriage come with an expiration date? I'll put it this way, and I'll put it out there, and you read between the lines. If it's just not working, and after a number of years, and you're going through the same stuff, the same old stuff, same old, same old. Oh, it was 11 years ago, he was doing the same thing. 6 years ago, she was doing the same thing. If you're going through all of that, then you know what? Then it's time to make a change. It's time to make a change. So you read between the lines, because people stay in these marriages for 100 years and then eventually get divorced and they wish they had done it years ago. And I'm not advocating divorce on my show. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying if it's not working and you're being miserable, I think that part of free will is to exercise happiness. Let me go to the phone lines this evening. We're going to go to 917. Welcome to the Dr. Jess Walk Show. We're going to go to the story in just a moment, so you all stand by. Tonight's topic is your relationship sidekick? You know, that's that other person you got going on in your relationship. And I'm not speaking about everybody because I know a lot of folks, they don't have sidekicks in their relationship. Whether you're dating somebody and you got three other women or men on the side, or whether you're married and you have a significant other on the side, that's your sidekick. So let me go to phone lines and see if my 917-399, welcome to the Dr. S. Walker Show. You're on the air line. Who do you have?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us this evening. Angela, let me just ask you, you know, I'm just revisiting one of my past shows. Should dating, in your opinion, should dating come with an expiration date? And should marriage come with an expiration date? And tell me why or why not.
Should it come with an expiration date?
Yes.
I'm kind of confused. What do you mean by expiration date? Should a person be together forever based on the Bible?
You know how your license expires after a while, your driver's license? And then you have to renew them? Yeah, should dating or marriage come with an expiration date? Like you say, well, you know what? If this marriage don't work out in 7 years, I'm out of here. That's what I mean.
Yes, it should come with a – yes, it should.
Okay, and why do you say it should?
Because most people spend a lifetime with people they're not compatible with. And a lot of us are in marriages and we're living our life based on religion and what they think your marriage should be. And I think I told you before that through history, what were we doing before the Bible came out? And a lot of people are going back to spirituality, and we were doing way more than what the Bible was saying and keeping us binded to each other based on the Bible. So, I mean, Africans was practicing having more than one wife. And that still exists today. Hebrew Israelites think that they can have more than one wife. And so I'm not against the Bible, but I think that people should have options. I do know what the Bible say when in regards to marriage, but I don't think it's working in today's time.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so are you married, Angela?
Yes, I've been married for 22 years, and with the help of reading the Bible, it helped me get through a lot of things. But I'm still going through things within my marriage, and I feel as though that Bible is not getting me through these tough times.
I see. So if I'm revisiting one of my past shows, should marriage come with an expiration date? And now I think you're saying you're married for 24 years. Is that right? Right. So if that's the case, then what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you going to try to stick it out? I'm also hearing you say that you're talking about African culture, that the men have more than one wife. And you're saying you know what the Bible says. But let me ask you, are you subscribing now to the notion that it may be okay for your husband to have several other wives, or you to have several other husbands or concubines, whatever you want to call
it? No, I'm not subscribing to it. That's just something that I don't believe in. But there are people out here who do believe in it, and I don't hold judgment with those people that are doing it.
I see. All right, we're going to go to tonight's story just a second because I find this quite interesting. And I tell you what I would like to do. I want to bring you back. And of course, along with any of our other callers that want to make a comment about tonight's topic, even that particular area of our topic would also be nice as well. So let me go to the story tonight because we're vastly running out of time right now. And tonight's characters and tonight's story are we've got Quinn, Rosie, and Paul. Quinn, Rosie, and Paul. I met someone else that I have fallen in love with. I hope you will not be hurt, and I'm sure you will understand. These were the exact words that Rosie told Quinn over the phone after their 3-year relationship, in which Quinn was expecting her to someday be his wife. He questioned her about whether it was something he had done to cause this, and she assured him that it was not him at all. It was simply something that happened, and she can't explain it. She insists it just happened. As Quinn cried over the phone, begging and pleading with her to not give up on their relationship, she repeatedly told him that it was over because she was now engaged to Paul, a guy she met a couple of months ago while she was out with some of her girlfriends. The question is that we start out tonight with, even though Rosie said it's not Quinn's fault, is it Quinn's fault? And Angela, let me just ask you, could it be Quinn's fault? Could it be his fault?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. No, I don't think it's his fault. I think that some of us find out in earlier stages we're not compatible with each other, and some of us live a lifetime with each other, and we already know we're not compatible with that person, but because of the Bible, it binds us to this person.
I see. It binds us to this person, or so we think. Is that what you're saying? We think
exactly.
That it binds us to this person. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So, I mean, could someone pass judgment on Rosie thinking that she's a bad person? Angela, in your opinion, could someone actually pass judgment on her and think that because, let's say, Paul was her sidekick, could someone actually place judgment and say the sidekick won over her significant other? She dated Quinn for 3 years. And she just met this guy a couple months ago, and now she's talking about getting married to him when Quinn thought that was going to be his wife. Could somebody out there, Angela, and then we're going to go to the phone lines again, Angela, could they be thinking that, wow, you know, the sidekick won? I mean, a 2-month sidekick. Would you pass judgment on Rosie?
No, I will not pass judgment on Rosie. But I do know that they are dominant, based on some of the Hebrew Israelite teaching, that they will pass judgment on her based on what they believe, that you shouldn't be dating people before you get married.
You shouldn't be dating them? So what you do,
mm-hmm.
Just somebody say, hey, will you marry me, and then date?
Well, that's one of their beliefs, something that I learned through one of their lessons, that they believe if you're dating or your daughter is dating, that binds her to being, I'm just going to say it, a hoe. That's the way they
mm-hmm.
look at it. That she should not be dating a man. She shouldn't be looking at him that way. But I don't follow that religion, but I do dip and dab in different religions to find out their tradition and how they live their lifestyle. So I kind of thought that was a little odd too. We're kind of messed up based on religion. Religions have a lot of, I can't even think of the word I want to say. That's why I keep saying bound you to things, where you have to follow so many different things according
mm-hmm.
to what they believe. And I believe that's why marriages are failing, because a lot of people have been into the Bible, whether it's Judah, Hebrew Israelite, whatever denomination they follow, and their strict ruling when it comes to dating a person and how they view you dating. So to me, that's them judging people who are dating.
I see. Okay, so I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you're saying maybe religion has a great impact or influence or control over how people think. And do you think that that's by design, not necessarily by God, but by society?
Of course, it's by man. Man designed it.
And why do they do that? What's the purpose? And we're going to go to 4 lines. We're going to go to
614-3.
Control and power. I see. Angela, we're going to ask you to stand by because this is very interesting because, you know, tonight, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is your sidekick winning over your significant other in your relationship? And we're going to reiterate the story in just a moment, but for now, we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to bring in 614-313. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the LI. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Good afternoon, Dr. Walker. This is Audrey B. How you doing?
Oh, fine. How are you, Audrey B? Good to have you with us this evening.
Yeah, I haven't been. I've been traveling and doing some other projects, so it just worked out tonight that I was able to listen in on the show. One of my favorite topics.
Okay, good. Well, for those of you all who don't know, this is my co-host that's joining me this evening. I know she's been traveling about, and we've certainly missed having her on the air, and we're so glad to have her. Well, give me your thoughts on I want to go back just for a moment because before you came on the air, we did talk about two areas, and then I want to get to tonight's topic also in furtherance of that. But one of those areas that we talked about was, should dating come with an expiration date? Should marriage come with an expiration date? And I'm sure you remember those shows. And then tonight's topic is your relationship sidekick winning out. What do you think? Should dating come with an expiration date? I highly think so.
Well, you know, we've had this conversation before. And, you know, it depends on what that individual wants out of a relationship. I mean, if they just want to kick it and have fun and they both happy with it, it's all good. If one party wants it to be more and the other party is not, then yeah, I think there is an expiration date at some point.
Okay. All right. What about marriage? Should marriage come with an expiration date?
Well, you know, I always said marriage is a little more serious because you're taking vows and commitment. And so it can expire, but it's not something you just jump to the expiration date because you want to work at your marriage and try to make it work and do everything possible before you give up on it. Because we say, you know, not everybody was meant to be together, but if you really are, you work hard at it. So it can expire, but you shouldn't be so quick to get there.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then I have a take on that. Let me just address that part before you speak to tonight's issue. And my thought is, you know, if you got, oftentimes the word work has a negative connotation unless you're doing a job for the labor of love. And so with that said, some people, they're like, you know what? I'm thinking, gosh, if I got to keep working at the same thing over and over again and it's not a labor of love, then something's wrong. And I mean, to me, that doesn't make sense. Give me your thought on that. Why can't it just be fun and it flows naturally?
It should flow. I mean, there is going to be some level of building trust and working to maintain a healthy relationship. But at the same time, if you're always fighting a battle, you're always trying to solve the issues, you might not be right for each other. I mean, it does take work, but it really shouldn't be hard work.
No, especially not all the time, not over the same things all the time. It's the same thing day in and day out. And so now it's like, oh, man, you come home and you're depressed or you're stressed because you're coming home to your significant other. You feel the stress from them. And you may even be contributing, and they may be feeling the same exact thing. And so now, 5 years into the marriage, you're both, you know, where's that loving feeling, like the songwriter says? Where is gone, gone, gone? but you're still trying to hang in there, and you're trying to make something work. And I want to go back to Angela, because I think a lot of people, they do let the Bible, they choose to let the Bible and certain things have that control over them when they're not happy. And I mean, and I just view God as a God who wants his children happy. Because if you think about it, if you're that parent, if you think about it, if you're that parent, don't you want your children happy as much as possible? Let's go to you, Miss Blake. Wouldn't you want your kids happy as much as possible?
Absolutely. And, you know, and as that parent, you know when your child has not made the best choice for themselves.
Right, right. And you're like, oh, you know what? And, I mean, if you get them a sidebar, one-on-one, there's a good chance. You know, you're trying to stay out of it, but when you just know that this isn't working for them and you see your child miserable all the time, what might you tell your child? And Angela, we're going to come to you in just a second. What might you tell your child?
Well, Dr. Walker, I've had this situation with one of my children who happens to be single and is with his girlfriend. And I'm like, you need to get you another place. You know, because if y'all are constantly at odds, you know, y'all don't even need to be thinking about getting married. You know, now you'll talk to him another week and everything's patched up. But don't say mama didn't give you some advice.
Andrew, I want to come to you in just a second, and I want to say this here in reference to what Ms. Blake just mentioned. The problem sometimes is people are so emotionally attached, and that's okay. But they have a little argument. They have a, you know, this big discussion or this big argument. And then what happens, begins to happen, is their feelings are so involved that it's out of control. Out of control, not necessarily meaning in an affectionate way, but because they're upset. And now, okay, when they've had time to cool down and everything is okay, then they're back in love again and they're back liking the person again, their significant other. But the problem with that to me is if it's the same issues, you know, and it's been 5 years and it's the same thing that's causing you to be so, like, just so painfully upset. And then you, until everything is okay again, if your relationship is constantly fluctuating, like valleys, and I mean, you know, it's not stable. Like you see that, I don't know what they call it in medicine, but when you see that I want to say that thing that's connected to the heart and it's flowing up and down, it's giving you that beat, and it's like leveled. But if your relationship is just fluctuating up and down on a weekly basis, something's wrong there. Angela, let's bring you in. Let's bring you in here. And Angela, we ask the question to you. You know, if that's the case, should you get you a sidekick and then just find your peace of mind with that sidekick while you're married or while you have another person? Because it might be a relationship of convenience. Should you, Angela?
I wouldn't. Because I've told my husband that I would never, if I felt as though I wanted to see someone else, that he would be the first person that would know, because that would be considered cheating on my husband if I even thought about seeing someone else or dating someone else or getting to just the whole act of being with someone else. So personally, no, I would not do it. But you said that earlier in the conversation, people think that they're ordained by God when they get in these relationships, and that's not true. That's why people are having difficulties in their relationship 5 and 6 and 7 years later. I don't think it has nothing to do with God when you get married, because if you sit and you talk to people who've been married, their marriage haven't been peaches and cream. Mine haven't. I went through some difficult times, and even reading the Bible, I still went through some difficult times after that. So now are you telling me that my husband isn't ordained from God to me, but I've been with him for 24 years, sacrificing and going through these different things and situations? with him?
No.
I'm not looking at it from a God's perspective.
Right. Okay. Well, no, I want to be clear so my listeners would understand. I say the institution of marriage is ordained by God. The institution of marriage, but not every marriage is ordained by God. So in other words, marriage itself, I mean, this is just my opinion, and I certainly respect the people with their differences of opinion. I'm saying the institution of marriage, in other words, marriage, I think, is ordained, the institution of marriage. Marriage itself is ordained by God. But not every marriage is ordained. God didn't set for every person who's gotten married to say, this marriage is ordained by me. The institution of marriage, and Ms. Blake, I'm going to ask you to help me break this down. The institution, marriage itself is of God. I think that that's part of his divine order. This is just my humble opinion here. But I don't think every marriage that people, they run out and they, because they like this person for whatever reason, he or she decides to get married. That doesn't mean that that marriage is a marriage that is orchestrated or ordained by God. And I think that's where we have, we're going to have problems in marriages anyway, because that's the degradation of the degeneration of humanity. But I think people do get it wrong when they're just thinking that because I'm married, God ordained my marriage, and so I got to hang in here because it's God ordained that. And I agree with you. That's not, to me, that's not true. That he didn't ordain your marriage, because I don't think God would put somebody together, a couple together, that's not compatible. That was our own choosing. That was us doing that. And then we're trying to fix the people by praying, and then God would fix them. That's not of God. But go ahead, Ms. Blake, help me out with what you think may be
wow.
an interpretation.
Wow, Dr. Walker, that's powerful. Well, definitely, as you said, I agree with you. Marriage is a holy institution ordained by God. But the issue is, and I've been guilty of it in the past sometimes myself, is that we get married without consulting God. Or better yet, we consult him, but if he doesn't give us the answer we want to hear,
right.
we go ahead and do it anyway. And then
right.
when we start hitting brick roads, we're like, oh, Lord, help me bless this marriage. And God's like, I never blessed it in the first place.
Right.
Can I respond to that?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have a different view on what y'all saying right now. I think man made all of this stuff up. Man made it up. Before books was printed, what were we doing? And we keep referring back to what God did, what God did. Right now, everything is what man wrote. What we should do, because if that's the case, then why aren't we marrying at the age of 12 when man think that's the legal age to marry his wife? She becomes a woman. So
right.
it's
what,
like
what
you're following certain things, but then you're not following certain things. The Muslims believe that once a child turns 12 years old, a female child, that she's considered a woman because she's gotten her muscles.
Her what? Her muscle? Her what?
Yes, that she becomes a woman.
All right, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Angela. And you have any daughters?
Yes, I have 3 daughters.
All right. Let me just ask you this. Would you want one of your daughters or any of your daughters to become married to someone when they turn 12, I mean, even though in this country it's illegal.
Of course not. But then if I was born into that religion where it says that we can do that, then, and if that's what my husband was born into and he believed that, what you think is going to happen? Because
right.
it's happening
that,
today. You may not see it in your
right.
life, but it does happen.
Right. But let me just ask you, do you think the age of, your daughters have, you've raised your daughters, obviously. And then if you look at society now, where we are, do you think a 12-year-old is really capable in
no,
terms of their
I
mindset?
Do not think that.
okay, to take on a husband and responsibility. They can't even really get a job or a driver's license. So,
well, according to the Bible, their place is in the home and not working. That's the man's responsibility.
Okay. So where in the Bible is that particular scripture that you can go ahead and
well,
get married?
Well, I don't have my Bible present. I made sure that I highlighted it when I was following some of these different denominations and the things that they say out their mouths, because some of the stuff that they say sounds crazy to me in today's society. And the next time that you have this show, I'll make sure that I have those scriptures out where you can, where I can read it to you, where
I would love to hear
people
that.
Who are in religion are following those scriptures.
Right. And, they,
and
that's
just why they believe in these things.
And you're saying it's in the within the American culture?
What do you mean by that? Because we have all types of cultures
in America.
What we don't see out in front of us don't mean that they're not practicing it.
No, I know. You said that it's happening. But from your research, your reading, are you saying that it's possibly
yes,
taking
it's
place?
Yes, it's happening in American cultures because a lot of us are converting to Judaism, being Muslims. And they practice that in their culture, yes.
Okay, well, last time I checked, I think these 12-year-olds are underage, and I don't think.
Oh,
I
know that.
Yeah,
they're minors, according to us. Yes, I believe everything you're saying. But then when you start getting into things like that, you're going to start running into people who think the same way I do. I mean, you're entitled to your belief. I'm entitled to mine. But these things exist. People are actually doing it, and they're living their life. A lot of black people are getting back into having polygamous relationships based on cultures and religions.
Okay.
Excuse me.
And what did you, let me just ask you that we're on this, and then we'll go to the phone lines in just a second. We'll ask you all to stand by. Let me just ask you, what do you think it should be? I've heard you mention God. I've heard you mention man has written
as
certain
far
things.
As me?
Yeah.
I'm
what do
one,
you think it should be? What, which one of these
I'm
reasons have you just adopted, if any?
I've been married to the same person. I don't believe in sharing him. Have I not discussed it with him having another wife? Sure. Why not? I mean, it's just discussing things, but I'm not, that's not my choice. I'm not going to choose that because I want a one man. I just want one man, and I want my husband to have one woman.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. Let me go to the phone lines once again as we're going to stand by. Let's go to the phone lines. We got to go to 305-684. Welcome, you're live on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have on the end with us? And welcome.
Dr. Walker, this is Tim.
Tim, thank you for joining us this evening. Tim, we are glad to have you. Tonight's topic, Tim, is your relationship sidekick. Is your relationship sidekick winning over your significant other? What do you think of that, Tim?
Sometimes they do. Depends on what's going on at home.
Okay. Okay. All right. So in tonight's story, we had Quinn, Rosie, and Paul. And after a three-year dating spree, Rosie told Quinn, she says, I met somebody else that she's fallen in love with. And she hope he's not hurt and hope he understands. And this man was expecting her to be his wife. How can she even think of uttering those words? I hope you're not hurt. And I hope you understand. And now she's engaged to Paul, a guy she just met two months ago while out with some of her girlfriends. What do you think about that? Would you be hurt if you were Paul? Would you be hurt? I mean, if you were Quinn, would you be hurt?
Yeah, that's impossible not to be hurt from if he loved her like that. Yeah, I mean, if he really and truly loved her, then yeah, he was hurt. He was really hurt. But if he just one of those guys that okay, well, you met somebody, so you know what? I've been seeing somebody for three years. Go ahead, and I can go back to her.
Okay,
you have a lot of guys that do that. That have that.
Right. Let me ask Ms. Blake. Ms. Blake, what do you think? I mean, should Paul expect, and this is a new guy that she's engaged to be married to, that she met a couple of months ago. Could Paul really expect in his mind that Rosie's going to be honest and loyal to him when she can bail out so easily 2 months, you know, after 3 years, and then meet him for 2 months? What do you think?
No, not at all. So if I'm understanding your question right, this is the guy that she's been with for only 3 months, and now she wants to meet with him?
Only 2 months, and now they're engaged. When she was with Quinn for 3 years, and then she just woke up one morning and told Quinn it's over because I met somebody a couple months ago while I was hanging out with my girlfriend, and now we're engaged. And now she's engaged to Paul.
A couple of things come to mind. I've heard stories like this. And you
I
know
have
I
too.
Always come from a different perspective.
Ms. Blake, we're waiting to hear
you. I'm sorry, I'm back. I come from a different perspective. Because sometimes people meet and they're with the wrong person in the first place, and they meet that right person, and they actually do live, you know, well in the future. Now, here's the difference. She's actually leaving him for this guy versus if they were continuing an ongoing affair, then you got a different situation.
Okay, now, I want to make sure I understand this now. You're saying that, okay, Quinn and Rosie were together for 3 years, and they were, everything was going, maybe a couple of months ago, Rosie meets Paul while hanging out with her girlfriend. And now this seems so real for her, or superficial, or whatever you want to call it. And now, all of a sudden, it's so good that he wants to marry her, and she says yes. And so my question becomes, in 2 months, could she have been with the wrong person for 3 years? And if so, why it takes you so long to realize that? And then how could Paul possibly be Mr. Right in 2 months? Not to say that it can't happen, because it could.
It's possible. It's very possible. I mean, I know – I don't want to call out family members, but I do know people who met each other when they were engaged, when this person was engaged to somebody else. The guy broke the engagement, and they've been married for 40-plus years.
Right, right. I know of situations like that as well, and that is quite interesting. But
now, one other thing, Dr. Walk, can I add one thing real quick?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know how old they are. Because there comes to be a certain age when you're not in high school, you're not in college, and you're mature. And trust and believe, it does not take you a year or 2 years to figure out if there's a connection that could work. Now, typically, psychologists say it takes about 3 months for people, and you can correct me if I'm inaccurate, 3 months to kind of for people to truly show their true personality.
Right. I agree.
Because most people can't hide it past that period of time,
right,
unless they have a
right
mental illness, multiple personalities. But so it's possible. What I do admire about her is that she didn't try to continue to see this guy on the side and stay in this other relationship. She was true to herself. And to me, she was true to her ex, because she could have been playing him, and that's not right.
That's Ms. Blake, that is interesting, but I mean, for her to say, I met someone else, that's fine, okay, to be honest and true to herself, and then I hope you're not hurt, and I'm sure you will understand. I mean, that to me is insensitive, because
it is.
How do you be with somebody for 3 years and then you say to them, I hope you're not hurt, and I hope you understand? I mean, if it were reversed, I can assure you, if she really loved him and he came across that with her, she's going to be hurt. And so, I agree with you, Paul. And for me, Paul will be living a life that, wow, because she flipped out on me when we have our first argument. And then she's not liking me after those 3 months when she really see my personality, or I really see her personality. Because that excitement is good, in the initial stages. But then when you're over those initial stages, I mean, it's like, have mercy. Angela, we're going to take some of the comments that will come into the studio tonight, and we're going to start out by asking you to respond to our first one. Ms. Blake, we'll bring you back in if you want to make a further comment on that as well. Let me just go to the first one here. In reference to tonight's show, is your sidekick winning over your significant other in your relationship? The female says, my husband cheated on me more than once with someone he started seeing on his job. And I found out, and he ultimately left me for her anyway. So I guess you can say she won out. But he later wanted me back, and I said no. Angela, let me ask you, what made him have a change of heart and want her back, you think?
Because it was sexual with the coworker.
Wow. And I see when that reality kicks in, and now, all of a sudden now, the cheating seems exciting. But when there's no longer cheating, oh, now you're together. Oh, y'all together now. Okay, all right. And now there's no cheating. Go ahead.
I think it could be many other things, too. I mean, it may not just be that. It could be she was paying all the bills and she paid his car note. Who wouldn't want to come back to that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, it ain't necessarily he coming back because he made a mistake and had sex with somebody else. It could be other things, many different things that played a part in that. And it doesn't
mean
that he still loved her.
Right, but if you got it that good and if you're thinking materialistically, why leave in the first place? It's just a sex thing, is that right?
That's right.
Okay.
There's a lot of people out here that's swinging and doing all sorts of things in these streets that, you know, that's pretty hidden, but coming out of the closet nowadays. So, I mean, listen, I live in New York City, and none of this stuff really, I see here a lot of things. So I'm not illiterate to what's happening behind closed doors when it comes to people relationship.
Okay, I hear you. Ms. Blake, let's take the second one here. This female writes in and she says, sometimes we think the grass is greener on the other side until we are left out there to find out that our grass at home would have been greener had we probably watered it better. What do you think? Ms. Blake?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that was directed to me. I agree. You know, people always think the grass is green on the other side, and you don't know what you're getting over there.
And that's the thing. That's the fact of the matter. You don't really know what you're getting over there until you're out there, and then you see it. I'll take this third one. This comment, this male writes in. He says, my girlfriend left me for another guy that she thought would treat her better. Well, when I gave in to her wishes to break up, She realized now that this other guy was not all that she thought him to be, and she wanted me back. I decided once it's over, it's over. And you know what? I say good for him. Because once you just violate that line, you cross it, and sometimes people, because, I mean, and we all can make a mistake. But I think what has to happen is, it has to be the chemistry and compatibility. It has to be the compatibility and the chemistry. And it's got to be where, you know what, you're like, Diane, is this thing really working? Do I really love where I am? Are we having the fun that I've always wanted to have? If that compatibility is not there, I think you're just going through motions. You're going through emotions trying to get to the emotions. You're going through motions trying to get to the emotions. Angela, what do you think? If the compatibility and the chemistry is not there, could it be that people are just going through the motion of everyday life?
Actually, I think that people should be having these conversations before they say, okay, I'm in a committed relationship. We need to talk about what we're looking for, who we want to be with, what type of person we want to be with. And once again, it's based on age, too. Because older people play games also, just like younger people.
Absolutely.
So it takes time before you really find out if you're compatible with that person. So, you know what? I'm going to have fun with you. Let's go out on a couple of dates. I don't think you're going to get to know that person just by going out on a couple of dates. If that's the case, then people, marriages will not be selling. People are in marriages for 15, 20 years, and they find out they're not compatible with people because they're growing apart from them. So
absolutely,
it's the same way in a relationship. You don't know what you're getting. I just personally think you don't know what you're getting. It looks good on the outside, but a couple months down the road, maybe a year or two, you're going to find out, you know what, maybe your whole idea of what you thought you were getting, maybe you don't want that anymore. Maybe you done changed your mind about how you feel about life, kids, and different things. So people shouldn't bind themselves to one individual. And you do have people out here that are say, I don't go backwards, because I believe in that too. Once I'm done with my ex, I don't want to go back to that same person. Why? Because you had your chance with me. We could have grew and built together, taught each other, learned from each other, but you didn't want to do that. But then there's some people that are forgiving. You know what? Hey, maybe my relationship messed up too. Let me give him another chance. Let's see if we can try this again.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Let me go on to the next comment, and Ms. Blake, we'll bring you in on this one. This male right then, he says, I dated a young lady for 2 years and met someone else and broke up with my girlfriend to start dating the lady I met. Well, it lasted for a few months until reality set in, which made me go back to my girlfriend, and now we are married. Yes, we have problems, but I don't think there is a relationship without problems. Ms. Blake, what do you think? He experimented, and it didn't work, and he went back. I mean, is it a trial and error thing?
Well, he's lucky she took him back. Let me say that. But sometimes, you know, we all have misjudgments, and I guess he recognized it, and she was forgiving enough to still give it a second chance. It's kind of like what Angela just said. Some people will give others a second chance. It worked out for them.
Right, and it did here. You know, it is so interesting because, you know, relationships can be a lot of work. They really, in my opinion, they can be a lot of work. And if you're in the wrong relationship, it could be like you're living in hell. This could be a miserable situation because you can be married to that person for a long time and you've fallen out of love. I've met couples that, you know, have said to me and actually said this, I'm not in love with my husband or my wife. And the wife says, I'm not in love with my husband. And they've said this before each other. And then they'll say, I said, well, what keeps you together when I've interviewed them? They say, well, it's just Jesus keep us together. And I think that is so, ridiculous in my opinion. That you're with somebody that you don't love, neither one of you are in love with each other, and you're blaming it on God to say he keeps you together. Why would you want to even be together if you're not? And then when you look at this couple, they've been in church for as long as I've known them, for over 30 years, and I've not seen this couple smile not once with each other, not once when I've ever been around them. And you can, and sometimes I used to do as a kid, spot check couples and say, I bet that couple over there is not happy. I used to do that as a kid. I bet that couple is not happy. I bet that couple is not happy. Because you can just look at them. They don't sit close together. They don't seem to be affectionate with each other. And you can only imagine. And I did this as a child. Ms. Blake, have you ever done things that seem like crazy like that? Or Angela, have you ever done that?
Yes.
Okay, and you can tell when people are not happy. Angela, have you done it as well?
Yes and no. I plead a fifth right now.
Okay, all right, okay, that's no problem. And you got people who can fake it too. I've seen couples who can fake it. Even the ministers, their wives, they're faking it. And I've been around them where they can't stand each other at home, but in public. You know, it's a big facade. It's a big show. Have you all ever seen it like that too? Yes.
Well, Dr. Walker, they don't fake it. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. They think they're faking it. And, you know, you have the women who act like they have a wonderful relationship. And all their girlfriends know it ain't wonderful. The only person they fooling is themselves.
That's exactly what it is. That's what they think that they're faking and fooling other people. But everybody already know. No, she can't stand that man. He can't stand her. But they go to church, and then when there's a big event, they want to hold hands. They don't even like each other. They don't even like, let's keep it real. This last comment here, Angela, let's go ahead with you with this one. This female, she writes in, she says, I think people generally get hyped up when they meet someone new, and the excitement of cheating lasts for a while until your first big argument. Then you realize that it's no different than sometimes the relationship that you're already in. Angela, how true is that?
I agree.
You agree
with that.
And why do you agree with that?
Because everything is superficial at first. You're trying to be in your best behavior. You're trying to impress this person that you're with. So it's superficial.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But I wanted to add something, Dr. Walker, with the last comment that you made. Now, I've sat in lessons with the Hebrew Israelite, and they believe that the only way that you can divorce someone is if they commit adultery on you. That you're supposed to help your spouse through their faults and help build them up and work out whatever problems you're having. And this is why people who've been in marriages so long think that they have to be with that person forever, even though they don't love that person anymore. Religion, once again, bounds that person to that person they got married to based on scriptures. Now, I don't have that scripture in front of me. I thought it was weird when I heard him say it, too, because supposedly they're having a lot of Hebrew Israelites calling in their hotlines and complaining that this person isn't the person I married. It's not she's not doing what she's supposed to do. Maybe she's not working. I mean, all kind of excuses. So this problem with marriages is worldwide, and it's in all denominations. It's just not being brought to light. People aren't talking about it so that you can be aware of the problems that people are facing in their marriages.
Well, I certainly, that's interesting out there. But let me, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, and I want to throw in something here, too, because we're about a minute and a half away from closing out tonight's broadcast. But I want to say this here, that, you know, and I admire the fact that you're researching and you're seeking for truth for you. And I think that that's what all of us need to do rather than just subscribing to what someone may have told us. But I think one of the problems that people go wrong in relationships is when they are dealing with something new. They, within 3 days sometimes, they're jumping in the sack. You know, they're having sex. And I think that that is one of the biggest mistakes anybody, this is just my humble opinion now, that's one of the biggest mistakes that anybody can make, you know, when you got this sidekick, because the minute that you go in and this is my thought, spirits begin to connect, then there becomes some type of bonding that starts to take place. And it's not easy, and that's why sometimes, you know, even if that man, he's decided, okay, I'm going home to my wife now, that lady who he was connected with in that sexual relation, it's hard for her to just let him go because there's a connection she has with him, more so sometimes than the man feels in terms of that connection. It may have been a sex thing for him, but for her, it was probably more than that. And then in some cases, you do have the women that have that. Ms. Blake, give me your thoughts on that before we close out tonight's show. Why is it that that was such a connection for that woman, and why is it for men a connection?
And are you talking about, I did miss a piece of that, Dr. Walker, are you talking about like a side chick, instant connection, or?
A instant connection. When he, you know, he meets someone or she meets someone and they have that sex. They have sex.
Oh, that's easy. So, you know, we talked about oxytocin. There's that bonding that we give off a hormone that's the human bonding. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize that, you know, you really don't have one night stands, you know, because that oxytocin is going to bond the two of you together and it's going to be a continual attraction, you just may never see each other again.
Right. Angela, let me just ask you, what do you think about something like that, where that connection is there, but, you know?
Well, in layman terms, that man's sperm is inside your body. So that woman has a piece of him with her when she's having sex with him. And, yes, I do believe that's why they go through those different changes, because they have that in their body. That's why they say you shouldn't have sexual relationships with them unless you're married to them.
Right. Listen, on that note, we are clearly out of time. We're going to ask that you all join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. Of course, I want to thank both of you all, Ms. Blake and Angela, for spending time with us, as well as Tim. Those of you all that we weren't able to get to tonight, we ask that you continue listening. You can listen to this show in its entirety 20 minutes after we close it out tonight. Join us this Friday for your Half Hour Inspiration programming. Of course, if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us again live next Tuesday for a topic that you really don't want to miss. Until Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless. And thank you, God.